a word of encouragement tonight, a word of challenge tonight. The words of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. In Luke 9 and verse 62, it reads, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." These are true words. And as we go on in God, the enemy will be there to buffet, to do all he can do to get us to look back and to give up. Yet we can know this. Jesus is the victory and has triumphed over the enemy. Amen. And if we continue looking unto him and trusting him, we will wear a victor's crown with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me. This is the hour to be shaken sleep, church. This is still the hour to be getting delivered. This is still the hour to be coming out of the world. Why? Why, Brother Don? There's a hidden work that Jesus is doing in the hearts of his people. And if we will be faithful, he is going to come and manifest his nature and his love and his mercy to draw men into the ark of safety before it's everlasting too late. God wants his people looking away from everything that would distract and to be looking unto the King of Glory. In this hour, we are to be forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The title of this message tonight, Pressing On. Pressing On. The text, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Turn with me, will you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, brethren, and he's speaking to us, "I count not myself to have apprehended." What do you mean, Apostle Paul? Here you are, receiving revelations from Almighty God. God has exalted you, giving you a ministry to the Gentiles, taking you up to the glory, and manifested himself unto you. And you say, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Quickly, this word apprehended in the Greek is katalambano, and it has a few definitions, and it means to lay hold of, so as to make one's own, to obtain. Secondly, to seize upon, to take possession of, to catch, to lay hold of with the mind. Christ laid hold on Paul for a purpose to bring his word to his people and to the Gentiles. Now Paul wants to lay hold on Christ. Paul wanted more of Jesus Christ. There's a prize ahead. And Paul was willing to do anything to get to that place in Jesus Christ. Christ is the pattern, sister and brother, and not man. Paul was looking forward to things ahead. He set his will, and he wasn't looking to his left or to his right. But he had his mind set on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Paul's mind, not a demon, not man was going to stand in his way from getting all of Jesus Christ. You know, as we are running in this race, We should be running with endurance. Let me say this. This is not a 100-yard dash, brother. This is like a marathon race. And in other words, we should be running with endurance, with the power to withstand hardships, persevering. And we should be running this race sold out and dedicated to God. And the New American Standard in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24, the last of the verse says, run in such a way that you may win. Run in such a way that you should win. You know, we look at the Olympics and they train for years and years just to get to that place for a corruptible crown. And they do everything right. They eat right. They're eating right. They're sleeping right. They're taking care of their bodies. They're watching themselves. They're taking care of this temple. How should we be running? Number one, we should be giving it all we got. We should be giving it all we got. Sacrificing. Hear me. Not eating the wrong food. Not eating the filthy magazines. Not having hors d'oeuvres on television. Amen? Not listening to someone gossip and tear down your brother or your sister. This is harmful. For it infects you as well as them. And as they yield to that spirit of gossip, they open up for an attack of the enemy without even knowing it. For that evil spirit has come to them, tempted them, and they have yielded to that temptation. And they have opened up for an attack of the enemy as well as to you. We shouldn't be going to X-rated movies, nor going to any of these concerts. And I say this, they had a particular concert in Tacoma, and a guy by the name of Prince, he calls his name. Something was said. He prays before he goes out to God, he claims. And in his so-called concerts, he has sex acts. He's not praying to God. He's praying to the God of lust. That's what he's praying to. Not to my God. My God doesn't hear that. My God wants to save that man's soul and bring him into the ark of safety before it's everlasting too late. That's the heart of Jesus. Jesus Christ died for every man and every woman and every sin under the face of this earth. God wants us to be eating right. Many times we eat the wrong things. But Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, in this race, we've got to be sacrificing, selling out to God, eating right. And as we are running, God would have us to have his word in our hearts. For Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, as we're running this race, there are demon spirits to the left and to the right of us. And they're trying to trip us up. And they're trying to say, come on over here. And they're on some with mirage spirits trying to get you to look at the world in some type of good way. But you need to keep your eyes set upon Jesus Christ, keeping that armor on and saying, I got my eyes squared upon the goal. Jesus Christ, I don't want anything you got to answer to give me, demon. I don't want any of your syrup because it's slow poison and I don't want to die. But I've got a vision and I'm going on in God and you're not going to slow me down. God wants us to stay in shape. You know, these Olympic runners, they were staying in shape. Brother Don, what do you mean about staying in shape? By coming to church. by coming to church. It's spirits that come to you and tell you, you're tired. You've been to church Friday night and Sunday morning. Lay at home and just relax. You won't miss anything. You need to say, hold it. Who's speaking in my temple? Where is the visa? Where are you from? Hell, get out. I'm going to church. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, lifting up one another. Brother, you can make it, and you're going to make it. Do you want me to pray for you? What demon do you want me to cast out you? Do you need healing? Do you need a ride to church? Do you need some money? Do you need some bread? I want to help you. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Time is running out. And the devil wants to knock off as many as he can among us. But we're not going to let him, are we, church? We're not going to let the devil knock off any brethren. We're going to stand by our brother's side. Hallelujah. Thirdly, God would have us to be standing in shape by praying. And the devil is afraid. He doesn't want God's people praying in the Holy Ghost. He doesn't want you in that closet, that secret place with Almighty God. He doesn't want you finding out who your God is. He doesn't want you listening to the voice of Jesus. He does not want you getting used to hearing Jesus' voice. He doesn't want you getting edified. He doesn't want you praying for the church. He doesn't want you praying for the president. He doesn't want you praying for the world and souls. So he'll do anything in his power to keep you out of that closet of prayer. But you need to say, regardless, if I don't feel anything, I'm going to the closet. Because it's truth anyway that comes before a feeling demon. And I'm going to the closet. And I'm going to hide myself away in my closet of prayer. And I'm going to reach Almighty God's throne, regardless of the buffeting. Because I'm going to go through. Because greater is he that was in me than he that is in the world. Get out of the way, buffetings. I got a right to talk to my Father. I got a right to go to the throne of grace. I can sit on his lap and say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Glory to God. Don't let the devil rob you from your time of intimacy with Jesus. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves. He says, but ye, beloved. Paul wasn't talking to heathen. He says, but ye beloved, ones beloved of Jesus Christ, ones that are the jewels in the sight of Jesus, ones are the apples of his eyes. He says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6 and 18, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. And in this verse is a picture of the soldier of God waiting for instructions from the Father, praying always with all prayer. Warriors, sons and daughters of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. God wants us to be praying for one another and for those that are not even among us, that are out there confused by the enemy. A brother said tonight that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, and that's the truth. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but wicked spirits. You say, Brother Don, wicked spirits that hate your guts, that don't care nothing about your soul. And God wants us to be praying for one another because it's the prayer of saints, glory to God, that got Dan Tyree back among the saints of the Most High. It's the prayers of the saints that broke the bondage on my first life. It's the prayers of the saints that are going to break the power of that enemy upon the pastor's knee. Faith in the Holy Ghost. The devil has already been defeated. The Bible says that principalities and powers were made a show of openly, put on public display before all of heaven and triumphed over in it. The Bible also lets us know that Jesus Christ has the keys of death and Hades in his hand, a picture of victory, glory to God. The devil is defeated, but he would have God's people to be intimidated of him. Truly, he is to be respected. For the enemy does have power, and his lies come with much power. But glory to God, Jesus is in this hour coming to his people and saying, buy my truth, daughter and son of God, and sell it not. But the enemy of our souls is coming and saying, here's some lies, buy it. Don't let go of it, because if you continue to buy it, I'm going to destroy your soul. But Jesus is saying, buy my truth, sell it not. So we're saying in this hour, right, I'm not buying your lies anymore, demon spirit. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm not going anymore to any of your counseling sessions. I'm not going to your church and listen to more of your lies and cause you to put me down. But I'm going to a church where I can be edified, encouraged, where I can listen to me some angels sing in my mind and get me to heaven. I don't want to have nothing to do with you evil spirits anymore. It's the truth. And of God's truth, what I said, that the devil's lies come with much power. God's truth comes with more power. Jesus has said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And when God's people begin to take hold on the truth, the demons are in trouble. And that's the truth. If you notice what happened in the wilderness, Jesus held on to truth. Truth was his only weapon, the sword of the Spirit. And this man was in the scriptures. And by reading that particular account of the wilderness experience, I know that Jesus was feeling tired, wore out, about almost to the point of exhaustion. But he wasn't going by feeling, brother. He wasn't going by feeling, sister, because he knew that truth comes before a feeling. And when that evil spirit by the name of Satan, the accuser, began to come to him, the one that is called Poneros, the one that is actively wicked, the one that has nothing but wickedness in his mind, he doesn't sleep, 24 hours of constant wickedness, came to the Son of Man who was untried. Jesus said, it is written, it is written, and it is written. And he beat the devil up, and he walked on out. And the Bible says, and after coming back from the wilderness, returning in the power of the Spirit. And that's what God would have us to do. Not listen to the demon spirits, not by their lies, but by the truth, and sell it not. For you are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. In this race, brethren, there is no time to be playing games with demon spirits. Demons are serious about destroying your soul. They're thinking about taking you out of the race for good before you reach the goal, Jesus. Did you know that? They're serious. They are very serious about taking you out of this race. That's why we got to be eating right and staying in shape and coming to church. Hebrews chapter 12. Moving all over the Bible tonight. Glory to God. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Most of you are Bible college students. Most of you know the Bible, so here we go. Wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let me read that again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, or this word can be translated, or surrounded about, with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Paul says, or the writer to the Hebrews, let us lay aside then. In other words, since we're encamped about, or compassed, or surrounded about, and that we're in a race, let's do it as easy as we can. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Now, these cloud of witnesses, most of us know that these are Old Testament, many of the Old Testament saints. And this weight in the Greek can be translated bulk or encumbrance. Something weighing you down. Something handicapping you. Something hindering you. Is something hindering you? Is something hindering you in this race? You know, if we can draw an analogy of a runner about ready to start a race. He's running. He's getting in shape. He's about ready to run. Notice this runner, though, this Christian runner. He's armored up in the armor of God. He's got his helmet of salvation on, sister. He's got his loins girt about with the truth of Almighty God's word. He's got on the breastplate of righteousness. His feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in his right hand is the sword of the Spirit. But he's saying in himself, I got to take off some of these weights. I got to take off a lot of these weights. What kind of weights, Brother Don? I got to get these demons off of me. I got to come to deliverance. I'm through sleeping. I'm through sleeping. I got to come to deliverance and get delivered. Because if I don't, I'm going to get weighed down. And somebody's going to catch up to me and pull me in and destroy my soul. The Christian must be removing the things in his life, certain demons that hinder and slow us down. Jealousy. Criticalness. Gossip. Lust. And a particular demon spirit in the division family by the name of preconceived. This evil spirit is in the division family. He begins to come and put things in our minds about our brothers and sisters. Lies. Things that are not even true. She thinks this about you and he thinks that about you. And the pastor's looking at me like that and this and that. Lies. And they sit back and laugh as we buy the lie. But I say, buy the lie anymore. Don't buy it anymore. Don't buy those lies anymore. Say goodbye, preconceived demon. No more of coming to your counseling sessions. We need the armor of God on. Don't take off that helmet of salvation, sister. Keep it on. This word easily beset us. In the Greek, it has the idea of being easily entangled. Notice the word easily, though. If we're not careful, the devil will so easily beset us. Hello? Some of us know. Get entangled. When we are walking in the flesh, the devil will easily, all the time, without fail, entangle and hinder in this race. That's without question. Look back in Genesis. What did the Lord say that was going to be the serpent's meat? Dust. So if you're walking in the flesh, brother, he's going to entangle and snare you. Glory to God, there's a place in the spirit that demon spirits cannot even figure you out. And if you're walking with Jesus Christ, glory to God, There's nothing that a demon spirit can do to you because you're walking with the Son of Man, the King of Glory, and you're not looking to the left nor to the right, but you got your eyes squared upon Jesus Christ, and you're not playing around with sin, and you're saying, I've sold out my life to the King of Kings. That song that we sing, I've sold out my life. I've sold out my life to Jesus. I've sold out my life. Demon spirit, get out of my way. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. You know, the church needs some angels of awareness. We need some angels of awareness and discernment. See, many times we can get delivered and spirits come right back. And they come right back to our minds. Hello, it's me again. Thought you'd like to know that I was kicked out, but I'm back to regain control. Now, let's go through this again. You like that feeling. Come on, go ahead and yield to me. But see, the Bible says that we have angels, ministering spirits, sent forth to help them that are heirs of salvation. So if demon spirits can come to our minds and tempt us and deceive us, how come we can't get angels of awareness and discernment to help us? Right? Why not? If there are angels sent to minister to them that are heirs of salvation, how come we can't get angels of awareness and discernment? That's the truth. How come we can't? Dealing with a particular spirit in a brother. Before this brother got there, he began to come down the steps and come to the particular place that I call the den. There's no windows or nothing but just a door. Hardly anything on the walls. You don't need nothing on the walls. We're there to cast out demons, not to play no games. And this brother came in there and he said, you know, Don, I was coming down and I hear a thought in my mind. Well, you're going to go down there and you're just going to, you know, you're going to come out feeling good. You might as well just forget about it. But then he heard another thing in his mind. And he said, no, you're going to be all right. You're going to be able to make it. Somebody said, well, that's just his own mind. You know, I believe that we entertain angels unaware a lot. Angels come and help us a lot. Brother, you're kind of getting a little bit fanatical in this church, aren't you? God's going to start opening your eyes, a lot of you. There's a lot of them in this place even now. The Bible says we enter into an innumerable company of them. The verse 1. Let us run with patience or endurance. We got to keep moving. Amen? We can't let the devil distract us. You know, we're going to be all winners, glory to God, if we pass the finish line. Hallelujah. It's going to be good to see everybody when we get there. Because we're going to dance for eternity. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. I like that. Was set before him. Something was set before Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, who for the joy that was set before him, glory to God, the joy is you. The joy is the saints in this place now that was set before the King of Glory in Gethsemane. He got a revelation and he saw each and every one of us smiling. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame and is now set at the right hand of the throne on high. And he's waiting for us and he's saying, come on, you can make it. Come on, you can make it. I endured the shame. I despised the cross, for you were the joy that was set before me. Come on, son and daughter of God. Don't give up, but keep pressing on. Fix your eyes on the goal, and the author and the leader will be perfecting us. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Back to there. Hallelujah. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And that word corruptible crown, or the crown in this particular verse, is the Greek word stephanos. And it's a victor's wreath. But you know something? We're going to get an incorruptible crown one day. Something that's not going to fade away. A crown of life. A crown of life. Glory to God. I'm excited for that. I'm running in this race. I'm running in this race. And I'm serious about this race. I didn't already made my mind up. How about you? I'm serious about Jesus Christ. I'm serious about his work. I want souls to be saved. I want people to be healed. I want demons out of people's lives. Glory to God. And I want God's people to believe his word, to believe that God says who they say they are, sons of the living God. On high. And when we cross the finish line, we're going to get a crown. And we're going to throw it right on back to his legs. And we're going to say, Jesus, Lord God, without you, I couldn't have made it. Without you, Jesus, without your grace and your mercy in my life, I wouldn't have been able to make it. Because you were always there, giving me strength, giving me encouragement, pushing me through, sending your angels of protection to me, sending your angels of awareness and discernment to keep me out of the snare of the wicked one. Lord God, take my crown. I give it to you, for you are worthy of all praise. Glory to God. I'm excited tonight. First Corinthians 9 and 26 says in the New American Standard, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not running this race for nothing. I've got a goal. I've got a goal in mind. I've got something right there. And I'm not going to let nobody distract me. I've got a vision. And I'm going to reach it. I want to be by his side. If we look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, and up in the context a little bit, it talks about being in that, out-translated ones, or being by his side. Being with Jesus. Being the bride of Christ. And Paul wanted to be out resurrected among the dead. He wanted to be out among the dead ones. He wanted to be among those that are chosen of God. Those that have paid the price. I say we got an aim, don't you? Because I want to be in the bride. I want to be by his side. I want to be right next to the King of Glory. I want to hear him say, I love you, Don. I want to hear him say, I love you, Don. I want to hear him say, I love you, Don. I want to hear him say, I love you, Don. And I'm going to say back, I love you too, Jesus. I love you too, Jesus. I love you too, Jesus. For all of eternity. And we're going to dance in the palace for all of eternity. Because I've got a name. And I want to be right next to the King of Glory. I don't want to settle for nothing less. I don't want to be out among them. But I want to be right by his side for all of eternity. Shulamite in the making. Glory to God. To be caught out. To meet the Lord in the air. Glory to God. Is going to be a marvelous day. Amen. Brother, you a little bit excited tonight. You know I am. I'm always excited. And the demons hate it. They hate the joy of the Lord. They hate when you're happy, sister and brother, when you're out there dancing and singing songs. They're tormented by it. Will you stop singing that? Will you stop dancing? We can't stand it. We're leaving this place if you're going to act like that. Hallelujah. Glory. I want them to leave every time we come and meet. Glory to God. They don't got a right in this place. It should be tormenting to them. It should be tormenting to them demons. They have tormented us. We're not going to let them torment us anymore. We're going to be doing like the scripture says, treading upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And listen to what Jesus said, and they by no means shall hurt you. You don't got to be fearful of demon spirits, though respecting them, but not turning your back on them. Because Jesus Christ didn't give you no armor for your back, but he gave you just armor in the front. And you can stand right there, and you know what I'm going to say. Eyeball to eyeball them. Glory to God, it's the truth. Proverbs 29:18a says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But glory to God that Don Barnett's got a vision. Years ago, Don Barnett had a vision. Almighty God had his hand on this man and had his hand on his wife too. And somehow they got together. And I'm glad because they both sold out to God. And we got a vision too, and that's why we're here. Glory to God, and the elders are linked up with them. And I'm linked up with the elders, iron to iron. And you ought to link up with us too, that the devil won't be able to knock us apart. But we're going on in unity to break down the camp of the enemy and to bring the souls into the ark of safety before it's everlasting. Too late. Glory to God. This is exciting news. Good news for the church of Jesus Christ. Not no bad news. Good news. Good news. Good news. Jesus came on the scene preaching the kingdom of God. The gospel. The glad tidings. Good news. Good news. That was my introduction. Now for my sermon. The rest of verse 26 in the New American Standard. I've been sitting around pastor for about 4 years. Good example, though. I love him with all of my heart. I love him very much. The rest of verse 26 in the New American Standard says, I box in such a way as not beating the air. Did you know that war and fighting the devil and demons is not shadow boxing? It's for real. And they are out to take you out, brother, for the 10 count eternally. You know, shadow boxing, for some of you that don't know what it is. I used to box for just a little while when I was around 12. And my mom was always worried about me. And I remember one time I got beat. And it seemed like everybody at home knew I got beat. We sat down at the dinner table and nobody said a word. You ever been in that situation before where you sit down and you hope nobody knows, but you know they know? And we were sitting down and we were eating chili and having some hot dogs and everybody just kept eating and looking at me. Well, I just felt like going down. Somebody had came home and blabbed to my family, Don got beat. But shadow boxing is you just box in the air. You know, you're warming up. You know, you're not really fighting anything, but you're just warming up. You know. Nothing happening. And you know, Paul was watching these, you know, Gentiles warming up, you know, and he was drawing an analogy. You know, shadow boxing is just fighting the air, just getting you ready. Nothing really there, but the demons are there. And they know how to fight, sister. Brother, they know how to fight. We've got to be ready, in shape, prayed up, eating properly. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will knock them out. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 9, New American Standard. But I buffet my body and make it my slave. Lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Boy, that's sobering. Paul saying that, you know, he had to keep himself under. Lest when he stood before Jesus Christ, he might be disqualified. And them demons are looking for ways to disqualify us. to snare us before we get there. Them that say in time, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Those will be disqualified. Those are the ones that have preached to others. I don't want to be among them that are disqualified. How about you? The King James says in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 9, keep under my body. But the Greek has the idea of to strike under the eye, beating the carnal man up. God wants us to keep the carnal man 6 feet under every day. But he likes to hello every now and then. You know, he likes to do that now and then. Let me give you an example. You can keep him under. You can walk by your brother and sister and, you know, you might see him and they say, hi, how you doing, brother? And something inside says, it's them again. Here they come with all that love. Ignore them. Just go about them. Instead, keep this carnal man 6 feet under and yield to that angel. Here comes your brother. He's full of Jesus, and you are too. Give each other a Holy Ghost hug. Glory to God. Them demons will leave too. They are the ones that are tormented. You know, this is something I want to share with you. Pastor been talking about angels in his camp meeting message, angels, and dealing with a particular spirit. This demon spoke out of this woman, and it was suicide. And this girl had committed or thought about committing suicide years ago. And as we began to come against this spirit in the name of Jesus, this spirit began to tell me, I have been prevented to do what I wanted to do because they wouldn't let me near her. Boy, I wanted to jump out of that chair and shout glory, hallelujah. They wouldn't let me near her. You know, them angels would not let those demons near this one. How much do you think you got some angels round about you? Encamped about you, sister. Right, left, and to the right and in back of you, setting up camp. Glory to God. That's good to think about. I came on staff in this particular ministry, and a one person said, you're going to get hit. And, you know, and I talked to Brother Lanny Peterson, and he said, brother, you don't got to worry about it. He said, just envision yourself of having two big giant angels on the right and on the left. I said, amen, Lanny. You know, I believe I got some angels round about me, and so do you. We all do, because we are heirs of salvation, and they have been sent to minister to us. Glory to God. And they like it, too. Glory to God. Philippians 3 and verse 13 says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm closing. Paul wasn't looking back. Why? Well, here's four reasons. Paul wasn't looking back at his failures and allowing the devil to condemn him, to slow him down, for he knew every day was a new day in Jesus Christ, and that the Lord's compassions failed not. Lamentations 3 and verse 22 and 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. I'm glad for that. Glory. It's of the Lord's mercies. The Bible's, we sing a song around here. For the mercy of the Lord is encamped all around me. And Jack Du Bois told me that his little grandson sing, the mercy of the Lord is my best friend. And Jack said he couldn't argue with that. And I said, that's right, Jack. That do sound pretty good. Boy, that angel of mercy is just, he is my best friend. The Bible says they are new every morning. Glory. Great is thy faithfulness, Jesus. You have said what you said you are to be. You're not a man that you should lie. But everything that came out of your mouth and still does come out of your mouth, you shall fulfill it. Number two, Paul knew also by confessing his sins when he failed. God was faithful and just to forgive him. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number three, Paul knew also when he did fail, he could go to God with his sins, because in this race we're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to get tripped up. But we can rise up like the scripture says. A righteous man falleth 7 times, but he riseth up again and continues to run this race. Paul knew also when he did fail, he could go to God with his sins, for he knew someone was standing up for him. And I'm glad somebody's standing up for me. Somebody that's glorified. Somebody that died for me. That's somebody that's my friend. Somebody that pulls me close to his side. 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, and I like this part, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I'm glad for that. Paul knew that when he repented, the Almighty was faithful to do his part. In Isaiah 43:25, it reads, I am he. Speaking of Almighty God. Notice, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake. I don't want to see the sins. And I will remember thy sins no more. I'm glad. Think about it. I'm going to read it again. I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. The Bible speaks about that it's the duty of kings to search out a thing, but it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And if you got a heart like David, a heart after the heart of God, and you're repenting and going on to God, condemnation don't got a way into you if you don't let it. You know, Paul wasn't looking back at his accomplishments either. He was forgetting those things. Jesus says in Luke 17:10, so likewise ye, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, for we have done that which was our duty to do. Philippians 3, the rest of that verse reads on, in reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul was running on, continually reaching forth, not looking back. For to look back, he knew it would slow him down. Paul kept moving on in God. He kept desiring perfection. He kept reaching out for the things of the Spirit. That's like Don Barnett. Paul wasn't satisfied where he was, and neither am I. Are you? Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark. And the Greek says, I am pursuing down toward the goal. I'm running down. I'm running down. I'm about almost finished with this race. And there was no time for Paul to relax and sleep spiritually. Neither us. And we can't and shouldn't be pleased to stand still. We want to continue to move on in God by his power, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the Greek says the upward calling. Paul wanted to be part of the bride of Christ. And he was going to do everything to get in shape by the power of God to be in that company. In conclusion, you say we are in a race, but I don't feel I can make it, Brother Don. And you can't make it in your own strength. But with his strength, you can make it. Glory to God. One asks, what happens in this race when I need something to keep going? Philippians 4 and verse 19, my God shall supply all of your need. You need something to keep going in this race? Do you need a little bit of encouragement? God can anoint a brother or a sister to give you a little bit of encouragement to keep you going. I've had that happen in my life, and so have you. One asks, Jesus won't give up on me in this race, will he? Philippians 1:6 says, being confident. Paul was confident in Jesus. Being confident of this very thing, that he, glory, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has begun a good work in each and every one of us. And we're still on the potter's wheel. And he's going to perform it and shape it and present it a beautiful vessel until the day of Jesus Christ. Continue reaching forth, beloved. For with Jesus, not only as the goal and by our sides in this race, for he has promised in the scriptures, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And with his help, we will pass the goal. Winners in Christ to receive the crown of life and also to be his bride for eternity. Hold on, beloved, for the victory is ours. Don't give up. We can all run in this race. God wants us to pursue, to press after the prize of the high calling of God in Christ, laying aside sins and weights that would beset us, and running with patience, knowing that a cloud of witnesses, other saints are rooting us on, angels by our side, as we pursue, press toward the mark of the position as the bride that God wants us to be. Keep pressing on, beloved. Amen.